Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging.
Come on out to the Lighthouse for Easter services. We will be serving breakfast at 9:30. And then at 10, I'll preach an amazing message on the story Jesus said would be told. It's about Mary Magdalene and the fact that Jesus chose her to be the first disciple to see him after his resurrection. And then at 11, I'll preach what is certain to be the most unusual Easter message you've ever heard, the political significance of the resurrection. This message will blow your mind. At 12, I'll preach a message titled, What is the Gospel of the Kingdom? The Gospel of the Kingdom is the message of the resurrected Christ through his churches today. You have never heard more relevant or important Easter messages. You're invited and all are welcome. Come on out. 1310 West Bataravia Road, Santa Maria, California. Call 1-805-714-0786 if you have any questions.
Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Okay, I get it. It is becoming increasingly difficult to do what I call crisis triage. It's hard to decide where to focus my 29-minute radio podcast when so many important stories compete for our attention. For example, while the White House is fixated on stopping Trump from running for president, a very important concern to God-fearing patriots, the Nimrodians are preparing to deliver the final blow to our economy that will take America out and open the way to globalization. You know, that one world government bit, the New World Order stuff. All very important issues. They are pushing us toward a digital monetary system which will put the government in complete control of our lives, destroying privacy completely, establishing universal surveillance, and bringing us under the total control of the totalitarian state. Now, to do this, they have to destroy the dollar, and inflation is key to achieving that, another important matter. Also, to make America energy dependent, Biden attacked our domestic oil production. So now we are vulnerable to Saudi Arabia and other oil-producing countries, giving them power to manipulate our economy by cutting their production and driving countries away from America and into the hands of our enemies to get much-needed oil. By way of example, Japan will be buying their oil from Russia. Although this makes the U.S. dollar an insecure medium to hold value, making it less attractive as the world's currency, the reserve currency, that is, the currency held by central banks and major financial institutions as a standard of value. So India announced it's ditching the U.S. dollar. Not good for us, friend. Other countries are moving in the same direction. This will have the effect nationally of exacerbating all the negative effects of inflation on the U.S. dollar, pushing it toward collapse. Kenya president, not Obama. Obama was the Kenyan that became U.S. president. Don't confuse them. Har har. Anyway, the Kenyan president said Kenyans should get rid of their dollars and announced Kenya will now buy their oil from Saudi Arabia. BRICS, that's an acronym identifying the five emerging industrial nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They've joined forces to establish their own currency, ditching the U.S. dollar. Egypt, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia have declared their intentions to join BRICS. Let's see. Now, that would BRICS sets, with a little manipulation, you could call this new alliance briskets. A cut of meat taken from the chest of a cow. These briskets cut from our chest in a double mastectomy on America. You'll have to think that one through, maybe. And all of this while Biden and his media are fiddling around trying to stop Trump from running for president. And these fiddle while globalists kindle Nero's fire. And we will certainly want to look at this new plandemic they're cooking up for us right now. Very important matters indeed. And I will address all of this tomorrow during our comfort and counsel visit, but I'm going to talk to you now about why the blessing of the kingdom is being taken from America. The blessing of the kingdom, what is that? Suffice it here to say, God promised favored nation status to the nation whose God is the Lord. and that brings forth the fruit of the kingdom. God said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Psalm 33:12. Now, God promised such a nation that if they kept his commandments, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and shalt not be beneath. Deuteronomy 28:13. But he warned, if that nation, called by his name, forsakes him, and appoints leaders that hate him, and leads the nation in defiance of nature and nature's God, well, he will reverse this and make that people a debtor nation, and set our enemies to be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Deuteronomy 28:44. That's what you're watching happen right before your eyes. America, once the head of the nations, being reduced now to become the tail. Understand that the holy nation is made up of God's chosen people, 1 Peter 2:9. And this judgment upon America is aimed at God's people to wake them up. And while America has many faults, chief among them is this, a weak and pathetic church, which is both ignorant and afraid to assert its divine power. Therefore, God has allowed us to come into the power of unreasonable and wicked rulers. Or in other words, we are losing our constitutionally guaranteed protections. America is under siege by a foreign power, and this power took our nation from us, ultimately, by stealing from us our right of consent. They've stolen our elections. However, we have a window of opportunity, if only we will seize it. Therefore, I'm going to talk to you about that opportunity. So let's get started. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The Revival Bible. What's that? The question of morality and the weightier matters answers the question why so many churches are out of focus and don't get it. This goes to the issue of Trump's carnal externals versus what are manifestly his spiritual internals. And if I have time, I'll show that there is evidence of a window of hope for America extended to us in the fact that this tranny thing, well, friend, it's being rejected at the intrinsic or essential level of America's heart and being and character. Our immutable physiological nature resists and finally overcomes every effort to alter it. You see, our nature is not existential. You know, where the idea of existential is that existence precedes essence. Now, what that means is this. The essence, the fundamental intrinsic qualities of a thing, this is shaped by life experiences or existence, living experiences. But the truth is, there is an essence of being that precedes existence. When existence is understood as life experiences can shape perception, but not essence. Essence is rooted in nature and defined by nature's God. Severe problems arise when a person, through life experiences, comes into conflict with their divinely determined essence. Existentialism is a capitulation to certain elements of Buddhist doctrine, actually. Western thought, grounded in Christianity, is rooted in the idea that we are what God made us. Existentialism suggests we make ourselves through our experiences. Or in other words, it suggests we are God. Now, if I don't get to discuss this today, I'll pick it up, Lord willing, Saturday night during my Comfort and Counsel live stream. And if you want to join us, go to my brain massage website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email letting me know that you would like to be put on the notification list for when I go on. Or go to the website at about 8 p.m., click on the Facebook icon on the far right of the menu bar, and join in if I'm already live, or wait and watch for it to show up and join the live broadcast when it begins. At 9 p.m., we will join in solidarity with our J6 patriotic prisoners and pause to salute our flag and sing our national anthem. Okay, I'll take my break right now to leave adequate time on the other side to address the essential reasons we are losing God's kingdom blessing in this nation and becoming the tail of nations rather than the head. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back. Come on out to the Lighthouse for Easter services. We will be serving breakfast at 9:30. And then at 10, I'll preach an amazing message on the story Jesus said would be told. It's about Mary Magdalene and the fact that Jesus chose her to be the first disciple to see him after his resurrection. And then at 11, I'll preach what is certain to be the most unusual Easter message you've ever heard, the political significance of the resurrection. This message will blow your mind. At 12, I'll preach a message titled, What is the Gospel of the Kingdom? The Gospel of the Kingdom is the message of the resurrected Christ through his churches today. You have never heard more relevant or important Easter messages. You're invited and all are welcome. Come on out. 1310 West Bataravia Road, Santa Maria, California. Call 1-805-714-0786 if you have any questions.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. God knows we the people did not put these politicians in power that are ruining this nation. God is committed to the principle of government by the consent of the people. Did you know that? It's all over scripture. Let me just show you a couple of examples. In Hosea 8:4, he complained, that is God complained, that Israel had set up kings, but not by me, he said. Now that would mean Israel put people into positions of power in defiance of God's will. While the power is ordained, the persons holding that power are not necessarily. Jesus is king of the world right now, but he operates on the principle of consent. Did you know that? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. How about that? He requires consent. Romans 10:9, by the way. You must declare your allegiance to Jesus as Lord. You must consent to his governance. Now, there are serious consequences if you don't, but that's how it is right now. That will change when he returns. Then every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But right now, you are commanded to repent and believe on Jesus. It's whosoever will may come. There's an invitation now, but you're not compelled to do it. Jesus lays all of this out clearly in Luke chapter 19 in the parable of the certain nobleman. His citizens hated him, the Bible says, and sent a message after him. That's Jesus having departed to get another kingdom. And the Bible says that his citizens sent a word after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They didn't consent. Luke 19:14. Psalm 2 explains the same thing. So God allows consent to us right now. You'd better take advantage of it, because if you do consent and confess Christ Jesus is Lord and believe he arose, you could call on his name and be saved from the wrath that's coming. But if you wait until that wrath comes, well, it's too late. Then you will no longer have the privilege of consent. You will confess he is Lord, but that confession will not deliver you from the wrath that will come. Got it? Get it? Good. Next, God knows we the people did not consent to the Biden usurpation, and that does make a difference. This gives us an opportunity. If God's holy nation, his chosen people, who are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, he promised to hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because God's people have foolishly turned from him, well, he's doing what he always does. He's looking for those who will stand in the gap in order to invite him, that is God, into the situation. Rend the heavens and come down, O Lord. Some gap standers have made the appeal to heaven, and God has responded. And he begins by exposing the wickedness that has brought the judgment. You can see that in Ezekiel chapter 8 is a perfect example. If the people do not repent, God will release his judgment upon that nation. But before he does, in preparation for that judgment, he will examine every heart of his people and place his mark on those of his people that sigh and cry for the sins of the nation to be protected from the coming judgment, Ezekiel 9. Then he'll release the judgment. So one opportunity that we have is to seek his face, turning from our wicked ways, and see the wickedness that God will expose, and then, as it were, join his heart and sigh and cry before him, and then before the people against this wickedness, and then stand, speak, and resist the devil's promoting this in our nation. And if we rise up in force, we can turn this thing around. God, in a case like ours, offers a space to repent, that we might be revived. And we are in that space right now, but time is running out. It's not unlimited. And he has risen up his champion. Now, some of you are going to have trouble with this, so please listen carefully and hear what I'm saying before you close your ears and miss the window of opportunity God has opened for us. Let me talk to you about the Revival Bible. Dr. Clarence Sexton relates the story of the Revival Bible. You can find it here, and I've got the link. The story goes like this. On the Isle of Lewis, off the coast of Scotland, two elderly women began praying for revival, one 84 and the other 82. One blind, and the other so humped over with a disease, neither could attend church. But their heart was burdened for revival, and they opened their home for prayer meetings. And revival fires began to stir. A young teenaged boy named Donald Smith got saved, and he became powerfully used of God in the expansion of this great revival that came to their isle and then began to spread out across Scotland and into America. Donald Smith was mightily used of God. A cousin of Donald's and a niece to these old sisters, whose name was Mary Ann, migrated to America in 1936, and she met and married a man named Fred. Mary Ann's aunts sent a Bible to her that had been used in a special way in that revival that Mary Ann grew up in. She had a boy, they named him Fred. A second child, a girl, they named her Mary Ann. They had a third daughter, they named Elizabeth. And then they had a fourth child, a son. And Mary Ann named him Donald after her beloved cousin and gave to him the Revival Bible her aunts had sent to her, had bequeathed to her. Now, this boy was born in 1946, and he became the 45th president of the United States. He kept that Bible in the Oval Office while he served. By now, you know we're talking about Donald J. Trump. Now, some perhaps are thinking of all Trump's shortcomings, aside from the false accusations, you know, that he's a racist, a white supremacist, that's nonsense, or that he's on a mission to destroy democracy. That's ridiculous. And we can dismiss these, of course, out of hand. There are the less than palatable behaviors that we know are true. His playboy reputation, his very public divorces, and a recording of some unsavory comments about women. Well, these things are not expunged by the many reports of chivalrous behavior from the Donald. It is only fair to point out there are many such chivalrous acts, including extraordinary generosity and bravery. Also, virtually all the really concerning negatives, they are all in his past. We've seen nothing of that old playboy persona or vulgar talk about women, and Melania seems to have been a very good influence on the Donald. But of course, there are the mean tweets, right? His impatience with crooked Hillary and the unwillingness to tolerate the fake news from the media. But most of us, moi certainly, will consider these things positives. Many of us, I know for me, I've come to just have very little use for that old country club gentry class and their polished manners, for we have too often felt the sting of their betrayal, their treasonous hearts exposed, the perversity of their political lies covering their wicked love of money and power. I'll take the honest man over the pretentious, pompous politician any and every day. Trump is a breath of fresh air by comparison. Nevertheless, many Christians don't like Trump's manners, and many for that reason alone will dismiss him. And that brings up the question of morality and the weightier matters. You know, why so many churches are, in truth, out of spiritual focus and just don't get it. This goes to the issue of Trump's rough carnal externals, as measured by some, versus his clear vision on spiritual values of weight and matter. The eternal internals, I call them, that define the inner character of any man, that sometimes belie the external presentation. That is, in their self-righteous estimation, I should say. You see, folks, many Christians are, simply put, externally focused. They look on the outward appearance, we were told expressly. That's a mistake. They are concerned about outward show of manners, more so than they are about inward matters of substance. They are more comfortable with a man who says, "Read my lips, no new taxes." But when pressure builds, his character collapses and he reneges on his promise. And externally focused Christians understand, he's a good guy, he's a good old boy. He's so sophisticated, he can rationalize away the breaking of his promises to their satisfaction, and talk about how mature he is to do so. And the externally focused Christians are easily duped by this sort of thing because, in fact, even when he made the promise, he, I believe, had no intention of keeping it and said so, by the way, at the time. This is the way of the gentry. It is the way of the well-mannered, well-heeled set. Their externals are highly polished, but their internals are defiled with deceit and greed, a lust for power, a passion for dynasty. Whereas Trump, he simply did what he told us he was going to do. And never took a dime for his service either, by the way. I mean, the only president that came out of office less well off than he was when he went in. And the only president I ever heard of who gave away his salary. His record speaks for itself. We were all there. We saw it. He kept his promises, even moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And peace breaking out in the middle. It was amazing. His leadership was extraordinary. He got things done and did so against such a backlash of wicked lies and resistance unlike anything any of us have ever seen or ever even read of. He withstood 2 unfounded impeachments, the whole Russia dossier hoax, spying on his campaign, all of this. And then the compounding of lie after lie after lie against him, it was unbearable. And yet, this street fighter in a Briani shirt and suit, kicking it in Gucci's, the guy's just real. He's real. And that probably sums up Trump best, I think, real. And by real, I mean, he's not fake. He's not a phony. He is what he is. He is, you see what you get? He's a man of men, a white-collar guy, comfortable in blue-collar company. And real, like someone who's, the typical standard mixture of all human beings of weaknesses. And in his case, they're almost as public as his strengths. Like David was a real man in this regard. Not some idyllic superhero without faults, but like, Samson, Gideon, Solomon. Some Christians are so superficial. They're so full of themselves, really, and judgmental attitude against a flawed leader. I wonder they condescend to read Proverbs. They're so holier than thou. Why have they not torn out all David's Psalms from the Bible? Why they read Peter's epistles, I don't know. Yeah, he denied Christ 3 times. Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny before the Father." Even Paul, whose own weaknesses are frankly admitted in his epistles. We're all a mixture of weakness and strength. Such Christians, I fear, are impressed by the cultivation of external Christian manners, the polish, They easily overlook major internal inconsistencies of character. Right? He dresses right, but the guy will lie, like a rug, right? Or he'll gossip like, there's a magazine by that name. He'll gossip like the gossip rag. Some preachers are a walking magazine of gossip, truly. Some Christians are. Many of them are. But they have the right haircut. I mean, it's just true, it always has been, that there are those who are nothing but whitewashed graves and full of the dead bones of those whose bones they've picked bare. I'm just saying. Some are so focused on the outside of the cup, that form of godliness, which is a good thing, but they fail to consider what's in the cup, the power thereof. I believe both the inside and outside of the cup should be clean. But if I have to drink from a cup that's dirty on one of those sides, well, friend, I'll take the cup that's clean on the inside, thank you very much, and tolerate some soiling on the outside. Some churches are, I think, understandably, very focused and intense regarding the outward expressions of holiness. Now, I have no objection to that. In fact, I could use some outward polishing myself. What I abhor are the superficial Christians who concentrate on the outward externals and ignore or virtually dismiss the weightier matters of the law. Now, Jesus had this to say, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone." Well, I'm concerned about those who are busy with the superficials that are important, but they ignore the weightier matters. Only with some of these Christians today. When it comes to Trump, they'll buy into a guy who is such a coward, he will not condemn the stolen 2020 election, but then coyly chide that, well, you know, I know nothing about paying off a porn star to keep her quiet about an alleged affair. Like a certain candidate we all know, unsaid but obviously intended. Never mind that the same porn star has more than once denied any such affair occurred. Never mind that. Never mind the whole thing. It's nonsense. I discussed this thoroughly a few shows back. Frankly, I'll take a straight-shooting, honest man like Trump over a weasel politician any day and any time. Come on out to the Lighthouse for what I promise will be the most amazing set of Easter sermons you've ever heard. Mary, the first to see Jesus. Why Jesus pick her? The politics of the resurrection. Whoa. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? We're going to start you off with a nice breakfast. Join us at 9:30. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless and save America. I look forward to seeing you in church. Come on out to the Lighthouse for Easter services. We will be serving breakfast at 9:30. And then at 10, I'll preach an amazing message on the story Jesus said would be told. It's about Mary Magdalene and the fact that Jesus chose her to be the first disciple to see him after his resurrection. And then at 11, I'll preach what is certain to be the most unusual Easter message you've ever heard, the political significance of the resurrection. This message will blow your mind. At 12, I'll preach a message titled, "What is the Gospel of the Kingdom?" The Gospel of the Kingdom is the message of the resurrected Christ through his churches today. You have never heard more relevant or important Easter messages. You're invited and all are welcome. Come on out. 1310 West Bataravia Road, Santa Maria, California. Call 1-805-714-0786 if you have any questions.
God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.